Federal executives are on the move today, but one high-profile executive is moving, it appears at least, thanks to a new law. Federal News Radio executive editor Jason Miller covering this and more inside the reporter's notebook and joining me with details. And we're just learning about this just minutes before we came on the air.
You could almost play your breaking news sounder.
Well, hold on a minute. I'll see if I can't find it fast enough.
That's fine. So what we learned, VA just put the release out that said that Susan Taylor, the deputy chief procurement officer for the Veterans Health Administration, is being processed to be removed. Mm-hmm. So, i.e., that's government talk for she's going to be fired.
Yes.
For her role in what the IG found was procurement fraud, waste, and abuse as it relates to the FedBid company, the reverse auction vendor, and her dealings both with FedBid and her dealings, you know, anywhere from promoting FedBid to other agencies to, put, you know, allegedly lying to investigators. And this was a lot of questions. You know, we've been reporting this story over the last week, and I've gotten a lot of questions from several people is what's going to happen to her? You know, why is she still in the job? Even the members of the House Veterans Affairs Committee has been asking, why wasn't she even prosecuted criminally by the Justice Department? So I think this is the first step in what potentially could be several to, you know, basically end her career in government.
What do we know so far about how this is playing out vis-a-vis the law that Congress passed and President Obama sign about removing SES people at VA?
So we don't know much yet. I did put that question to VA, ask them, is this being done under the new law that the president signed, as you mentioned? If so, what is the process going to look like? I am still waiting to hear back from VA about any specifics they can offer, and I'm working on a story for federalnewsradio.com, so I will have all that posted as soon as possible.
It appears, though, that the steps that the law provided for have been followed here. In the report that we see from the Department of Veterans Affairs that you'll be writing about for federalnewsradio.com, the removal was listed by Deputy Secretary Sloan Gibson, which, if I recall correctly, was the hierarchy, the procedure that was to be followed according to this law. So all the signs appear
correct
that this would be the first removal of an SESer at VA under the provisions of that law.
And in fact, I think Federal Drive this morning, Tom, had on Susan Grunman from
yes.
the Merit Systems Protection Board, and she said, we have not seen anyone yet from that new law.
Yes.
This may be the first, and that's what we're checking with VA about.
That's correct. And that conversation with Susan Grunman from MSPB's at federalnewsradio.com /Federal Drive. A lot more inside the reporter's notebook, Jason. Some big changes at the Office of Management and Budget. Now, they've had a number of people leave, but they're starting to get another talent influx coming in there in the government office.
And this is very, I think, big news and a good sign for OMB, the eGov office. Grant Schneider, the Defense Intelligence Agency's CIO as of Friday, started his new job today at OMB as a senior advisor. Now, he's working on cybersecurity issues, including continuous diagnostics and mitigation program and identity management. Now, what's interesting about this move for Grant Schneider is he spent his entire 22-year career at DIA in the intelligence community. So now he's moving over to the non-intel, the civilian world. Yes, he's still working on cybersecurity, and cybersecurity in many regards is cybersecurity all around. But this really rounds out what he's doing. I mean, this is not an operational job. This is a policy job. And it's putting someone in place over at OMB who has not focused on cybersecurity very much during this administration.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me be clear when I say that. This is not to say they've ignored cybersecurity, but they really have moved cyber outside of OMB to the White House, to Michael Daniels' position in cyber coordinator, and of course to the Homeland Security Department. So that's what I mean by they've not focused on it. But bringing him in actually, I think, is a sign that they are focusing on it. Now, I think there's more tea leaves to be read on that. And let me just throw this out there, and I'll preface this, Francis, by telling you, I asked Grant Schneider this question, and his response was, no, not me. But we know history says when someone comes over as a senior advisor, the next step is usually to be nominated or appointed to a very plum role, such as federal CIO. Because I'm being told by, you know, my sources that Steve Van Roekel, I think, left just about a month ago.
I'm aware of that, yes.
So I'm not saying that Grant Schneider is going to be the next federal CIO. But let me just say, if a week, a month, 2 months from now, 3 months from now, someone tells me he is, I'll be like, oh, okay, it figures.
If we have any questions about that line of succession, we guess we could go to ask Ann Rung, right?
Well, a lot of people. Ann Rung is a great example.
Most recent one.
Joe Jordan is an example at OFPP. Mm-hmm. You can see it in other positions, too, that they bring people in as a senior advisor, and then they get nominated or appointed. So I'm just going to throw it out there. And even if Grant Schneider doesn't become the next federal CIO, and again, I have no evidence that says he will, having someone from the DOD in there, having someone from the intelligence community in there is really going to help bridge maybe a gap or two that's been developing over the last 4 or 5 years. I've been told by several people in government and in industry that when Dave Winogrand left as the vice chair of the CIO Council, the relationship between the civilian and OMB and DOD was not great. It wasn't awful, but it was not as strong as it could have been. Mm-hmm. And because of someone like Dave Winogrand, what I'm being told is you need someone in that position to help bridge the understanding of what the civilian world faces and what the DOD and intelligence world face. And I think that's a great sign that Grant Schneider is that person that could help bridge that gap.
Congratulations on the great get. You have an interview with Grant Schneider featured on Ask the CIO this week. It's Thursday morning at 9, right after the federal drive. So
sometimes you get lucky, right?
Well, and you should always tell people that it's based on skill, not on luck. But that's just a little career advice from me to you. You're also writing this week inside the reporter's notebook on shared services governance. And, I mean, we've talked on this program a number of times about the issues that agencies have with shared services. And governance structure is only one of them, Jason.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And the two documents that I did get a hold of that we have posted on federalnewsradio.com talks about new ways to really look at shared services. And I think they're key pieces that need to be put in place for this initiative really to find success. So the first document really looks at financial management shared service marketplace, how to really an implementation guide that OMB and Treasury put together for a longer term vision. The second document, which I think is much more important in many regards, is the relationship between the federal shared service providers, so someone like the Interior Business Center, and their customer. So in this case, maybe someone like HUD, who is moving over their shared service provider. And this really outlines basically 10 areas where the federal shared service provider should be, you know, hey, you may want to mention this to your customer. And then there's 9 areas where you absolutely should mention this to your and get their approval and get mm-hmm. their input. Uh-huh. And I think that's important because it really does set expectations.
The shared services focus in government is spreading to all kinds of services, not just the kinds that we've seen so far. Is there anything that we know of that we can learn from these documents about financial management shared services that might apply in other areas?
I think just as a basis for the separation of this is what you should expect and yes. This is what you should be aware of, I think that's a really key document to show, okay, the same thing could happen with human resources line of business. And I've been told that OPM is starting to ramp up their HR line of business. And I wouldn't be surprised to see something around grants coming. You know, one of the things I do also write about later on in the reporter's notebook talks about a new guidance from OMB around grants management. Now, this is not around shared services, but they are changing the way they kind of have metrics for grants and what they call financial assistance. So I wouldn't be surprised if grants get some headway around shared services as well. And of course, there's shared services with cybersecurity, there's shared services with a whole set of different things. So I think the financial management is one of the tougher nuts to crack around shared services.
One more item I want to hit, and it's my favorite one inside the reporter's notebook this week. My colleague Jason Miller is here. The email memo from September 15th sets 2 new deadlines for how agencies manage electronic communications. Beth Cobert, the Deputy Director for Management at OMB, and David Ferriero, the Archivist of the United States, give agencies guidance for how to meet 2 upcoming deadlines set in a 2012 directive that gave agencies till December 31st, 2016, to begin managing both permanent and temporary email records in an electronically accessible format. Now, we're aware of the controversy about emails right now at the Internal Revenue Service and how they were backed up or not backed up and what was done with those records, how they were saved and how they weren't saved. And it strikes me that once this guidance is implemented, it makes that whole discussion that's been had in the Oversight Committee moot. And that's to the benefit, it seems to me, of the rank and file federal employee and especially the manager.
I would agree. And what basically this guidance is a very short guidance. We have a link to it again on federalnewsradio.com. And the whole point of it is to say, here's the steps you need to take. Tell us how you're working this for temporary and permanent email records. And then tell us by 2019 the steps for all electronic records. And the goal here is, I think, twofold. Number one, so you have a clear understanding of a clear process for how to keep these records. And two, make sure the records last forever. Because mm-hmm. one of the things about papers we know is paper has a long shelf life.
Yes.
Technology doesn't. And the technology used today may not be the technology that in 5 or 7 or 10 years that can be seen. And they want to make sure that you have it saved in a way that can be seen in 100 years from now, in 1,000 years from now. And I think that's part of what this memo is looking at. I'm not sure it relates back to the controversies, but it is something that is trying to address a long-standing problem in government, which is records retention.
Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller, inside the reporter's notebook. Always great to go in there, even though you still haven't hung up one of those little pine trees.
It smells less like coffee, I think.
It does. That's true. I'll give you credit for that.
Thank you.
And you can read inside the reporter's notebook, the column at federalnewsradio.com.